Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready. Be not left, saith the Lord. This is a time where history will be made. Judgment will happen. And redemption for those who are sincere in me. It is very important for my people to obey me now and do all that's in my heart. Life is a gift, saith the Lord. My gift to you, saith the Lord. Life is something you can trust. In life, there's security. In life, you will live and not die. The secrets of sin are being exposed to those who love me. They that are in sin are trapped by it. They can't see their way out. They that trust sin become wicked more and more. The leaven of sin is a grave danger, saith the Lord your God and King. It steals the focus and invades the will of man. But those who know me can see it for what it is. They that know me have ears to hear. They that know me trust me. And not Satan, and not the world system. They that know me can see clearer, and as they draw near to me, they see even clearer, and their understanding develops. They that are distracted, yet they hold their place. They don't give in to sin, but they're distracted. Follow me, saith the Lord, and you will see all things for what they are. I will lead you and I will guide you, but follow through. For the just shall live by his faith. And as you act on my word, then you will see. Only then you will see as I see. They that are wise fill their hearts with my word. Their lamps are not empty. They have the oil of my word, the essence of my word in them, and they become sincere in all ways. Many are sincere partially. But as they grow from glory to glory, saith the Lord, they become fully sincere. And as the sincerity increases, so does your ability to see as I see. The wages of sin is death. But life has its own rewards, saith the Lord. The rewards of life are plenty. It's refreshing continually. And they that know me learn these things. They that are secure in me, they follow through with all that I give them. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth, saith the Lord. They that follow me are learning and growing, and their abilities are increasing. Their knowledge is increasing. Their love causes them to believe everything that is of me. They have less waste. Many people waste my word because of how they were trained improperly. But they that follow me mount up, just like the wings, the eagles on the eagle's wings, they mount up, and they fly much higher. They can do more. They can be trusted by the Holy Spirit to follow through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, I thank you for being in your presence. I really didn't know he was going to give me such a word, but I love it. I love when the Lord do things like that. And that's why I confess I'll do all that's in his heart. When he change up on me and do things differently, I flow with him. I love him. I'm going to go back and listen to that because there's a lot there. We have insights, ever-increasing insights in the Lord. I was talking to a friend recently. I said, you know, when all this is over and done with, and sin is gone for good, nobody's gonna want it back. And the people that are trapped in sin, they're gonna wish they didn't exist, and they're gonna wish they never sinned in the first place. And so the wages of sin is every form of death. Your dreams are dead. Your will is dead. You have no purpose, no godly purpose. And everything you touch turns to decay. That's what sin does to society. It has no logic. It's just the actions of frustration in every way you look at it. It's evil. There's no reason for it. The Lord's going to destroy sin. The problem with sin is it has to have a host. These are satanic thoughts. They can't make you do anything, but if you give in to it, it traps you. It hijacks your will. Sin attaches itself to the will of man. And in order to get rid of sin, you have to get rid of the host. Because it's a contaminated source. Sin with the host is a sinner, which is dangerous. But when you get rid of the host, you get rid of sin with it, the thoughts and everything, every reminder of it, every projection of it is gone. And nobody's going to want it back. The people that see the meek will inherit the earth. People that are powerful, but they submit to the Lord. The meek will inherit the earth. The pure in heart, they'll see God. They'll understand the Lord. They'll see what, as I draw near to the Lord, I see things in greater measure continually. It's not like I began to draw near to the Lord and I saw everything. I draw near to the Lord and I see more and more. And my sincerity increases more and more. My love walk increases more and more. I love the Lord my God and King. And when you believe in what you're doing and act on it, your belief turns into faith. When you trust God and act on it, your trust turns into faith. And so when you follow God and you act on His word, you're full in. When you act on your faith, that's perfect sincerity in action. That's the love of God in action. That's you doing the will of God in action. Very important. And I thank God for that. Faith is more than just something to get something you want. Faith is a way of life, a definer. You redefine life the way you want it. And it's important. Whatever you speak by faith, Heaven itself backs you up. And we have, you know, Jesus said that he could command 12 legions of angels. So heaven backs up every word we speak on God's behalf. Everything that we do in the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. It is the same as Jesus when we speak his word. When we speak what he's originated, in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus because it's word-based. You can't believe something. Don't try to believe God for evil things because that's not going to happen. He has no association, covenant, or agreement with anything that's evil, with everything that is of him. So our motives in praying, because I said that the name of Jesus is the same as Jesus, your motives are important too. If you have the motives of Christ and you speak the word of Christ and you have faith in what you're saying, then it is the same as if Jesus said. Heaven moves. So if God brings something to you and have you to pray for others, when you pray, it's going to happen. It is impossible for it not to. As long as you pray in faith, even if you don't have enough faith, God will give you the gift of faith. He's done that for me. So when he tells me to pray, I pray, and I'm in full agreement as I pray. And if I need assistance, he helps me till the job is done. I pray in the Holy Spirit when he do that until I start laughing. And I remember years ago, the Lord showed me a vision of a girl named Connie in Utah, Alabama. My dad was pastor of St. Paul United Methodist Church, and she would come to Sunday school. And I remember her. And she would come to go to her parents, you know, they went to church there. And I hadn't seen her. I stopped going to Utah when I was somewhere about 10 years old. And I started going to church with my sisters in Birmingham so that I could, you know, just enjoy the weekend, and it gave my parents a break. So my parents agreed to let me stay with my sister, and then they went to church, you know. So I didn't see Connie. I hadn't seen her since. But I was in my shop in 19, it was 93 or 94, maybe even 95, but because I had the shop from 93 to 95. But one of those years, I saw a vision. I saw her face. And the Lord said, pray for Connie. And I did. And I prayed earnestly. I prayed in the Holy Spirit. But in those days, I didn't pray till I started laughing. And it happened again. And the second time, I prayed more earnestly. And I told my mother about what I saw. I saw her face twice. The second time, I prayed much more earnestly. And my mom said that Connie was in trouble at the city hall for some reason. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm clueless about it. But one day I was watching the TV and I saw her walking with the people going to court or something. So when the Lord gives you something to do, it's real. Somebody needs your help at that moment. And the Lord has to use people of faith. And she's not the only person the Lord had me to pray for. But I saw a face then. My mother, she was in contact with Miss Larkin. Miss Larkin was alive in those days. And she told my mother some things that had happened. I don't know exactly what happened to this day. But then I saw it on the news for myself. And I knew it was the Lord when I saw the vision. I knew that there was something going on. And God is good. I never even seen Connie since then. And one day I'd love to tell her about that, but I don't even know how to contact her at this point. But nevertheless, it happened. It really happened. I thank God for his wisdom. The thing of it is, when people need you, you know, they need you. And the Lord knows, you know, I believe she's, whatever it is, I believe she's innocent. I believe somebody lied on her. Because some, you know, the Lord got involved. And people, when people are right, and they know they're right, and they're innocent, people pinning something on them, they pray. And God gets, he gets to moving. But still, I don't know the details. I don't know anything except for what I just said. These are abilities we have in the Lord. When we pray, the Lord will, he will, heaven moves on our behalf. And this is why our nation is as stable as it is. In yesterday's broadcast, I pointed out how the wicked, they will do wicked, and they won't understand, and that's how it is. They are wicked, and they don't understand. They can't, they don't see, they, what they see, they what life to them is what they see and know. And that's it. They don't really think about the things of God. The Bible stories to them are metaphors or something that they see. God put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. When people get in sin and won't repent, they are Satan's seed. Don't have any doubts about that. They are Satan's seed, and they will love, as they continue in that path, they will love what Satan loves and hate what Satan hates as they proceed. In other words, their love for God will diminish until there's nothing left. And they won't come back. Till they get to a point, they won't come back. And that's dangerous. And I pointed out how the lukewarm people, they don't even know that they're lukewarm. They don't know that they're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. To them, everything they're doing is justified. They don't even, you know, they live as if God is okay with whatever it is they concocted to do. And they don't read the word, so they're not convicted. And then they see it according to leaven instead of the true word. That it they, to get them out of it, they first of all, they'll have to want what's right. And if you're not sincere, you're not going to do that. So, and then you have to fill your heart with the word of God. And you'll have to want to do it. When people don't desire the things of God, I understand that there's not much I can help them with. That's just the way. But if a person is motivated, too many people want God on their terms, and some people want, they respect who God is, and they want to know him, and they don't want to do the things that, you know, they put effort into coming out of darkness, and some things they don't even think about. But see, I never learned how God judges people. And I'm kind of glad I don't know. You know, he has a way of judging people. And I just trust him. Now, when I talk about lukewarm people, there's nobody on earth that I'm thinking about. I'm just giving people what God has given me. The ways of a lukewarm person, they halfway love God and they love Satan too. And that's a good way of, that's the analogy is lukewarm, just like the cup of coffee. Most people want their coffee hot. I know they got iced coffee too, but that's a new thing. But most people want a hot drink to be hot, not lukewarm. They'll send it back to the waiter, you know, it's how it is. And I don't like coffee that'll burn my tongue. I let it cool a little bit, but I like it hot. Sometimes I heat it up. And sometimes I just drink it anyway. I like the way it tastes. But, God, the preference was hot, which is love and sincerity. The undesirable is cold, which is evil and wickedness. A lukewarm person, they remember how sin works. Sin is a leaven. Once you're leaven, you produce leaven. See, leaven begets leaven only. You can't be contaminated with sin and teach a perfect word. It's not possible. So the only way for you, you will project whatever it is inside of you. That's what's going to happen. If the purity of God is not in you, you will not broadcast it. And the only way you can is to read the word only. But the projections of your heart, see, when you read the word, you're reading what Jesus said. But see, a lukewarm person will read what Jesus said in light of what they desire. But when people allow sin in their life, they always project it. even when they try to hide it, they still project it. Because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It's not going to happen. It cannot happen. The only way for you to project what God said is to love what God said. That's how it is. Lukewarm people produce lukewarm people. And they produce people that are blind, naked, wretched, miserable. And they teach the word in that framework. When they teach that you won't have any hope left. I've seen this with my own eyes. When people are, they have the pure love of God in them. And sometimes on a good day, people will do that. And on a bad day, they may not. But when people are right with God and they do it as a, and they love him, the Lord will feel their right. See, God, he's wise. What they don't know, God will give them, even on the spot. Because their heart is right. And God will cause them to say things that people will yearn to hear. I've seen this. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to say in these broadcasts. And I pray in the Holy Spirit a while. And I wait on, and the Lord said, go ahead and speak. And I speak and he give me things like this. I'm comfortable at this point. And when I give a word, I mean, I'm paying attention to the Lord, not my thoughts. And I may seem a little bit more cautious because I'm uttering what he's giving me. And if I did it more, I'd be more comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm in his presence. But when I'm speaking under the anointing, I guess I'm more used to it. It's the same thing, really. But, as you do things, you get more comfortable with it. But it's still the word of God. Still valid. Still strong. Believe it. Take it for what it is and go with it. Because God's word is holy. Okay, and look at all the conditions of the lukewarm church. And I want people to know. See, I don't know. I'm still learning how to define lukewarm people. And again, I don't know of any person, one person or a group of people that are like this. But they exist and it's a worldwide problem. So this information is for you to be aware of it so that you can avoid it. Okay. This is Revelations 3 verse 14 again. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is Jesus talking. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. See thy works. Their faith is neither cold or hot, because you can't project something that's not there, and you will project whatever is there, their works. I know that works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and their works are neither cold or hot, because in their heart they're neither cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot in your heart. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. They don't know it. That's the point. They're looking at what the possessions, or their power, or their strength that they have. You know, you can have money in the bank. You can have a new car, new house, or a good car, good heart, good house. Not necessarily new, but you can have possessions on every level too. Even wealthy people, and have need of nothing. And know it's not. They don't know that they are wretched. They can't bring life to anything. Miserable. Now, there's Moses didn't, he forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. There are pleasures in sin because sin, the pleasures of sin is a mockery against what God has done for us. You know, God has given us marriage, and in marriage, sex, the ability to have sex. But sin exploits it. But marriage, it's still holy. It's in a holy confine. It's right. And it's healthy for couples to have sex that are married, because it encourages each one another. But see, when they get in strife, that the hatred of strife causes them to resist one another, and they don't want to bless the other. And that's not right. That's ungodly. But if Satan have no place in their life, he'll do it. And, you know, but life is supposed to be better than that. God, see, when God's version of life, you will work as unto God in all things. You seek to be a blessing to people. So your spouse, you want to be edified, and you want your home to be a refuge, a place where you go and enjoy your house, your wife, you know, or the wife, her husband, and talk and have fun and laughter. That's how life is supposed to be. And to enjoy each other, and enjoy your children, you know, having good relationships and talking to your children, movie nights, popcorn, the whole thing, you know, Bible studies, games. And then for the couple, they can have sex as long as, you know, they can reward each other. That's how life is supposed to be. But man took it and just have, you know, these crazy kings, they wanted a harem of women. And concubine, I don't even know the biblical word for concubine. I'm glad I didn't live back then. You know, there's nothing better than what God did in the first place. See, it was one man and one woman. No confusion. And they can grow together. If they mature, not only mature, sincere people can do this, but if people that are immature and worldly, they can't live like that. They don't even believe it can happen for them. But those that love God, you can, and the ways of God is beautiful. Satan always try to mock the things of God and take the joy out of our lives. That's what people allow whatever it is that happens. But whatever is in your heart, that's what you are, and that's what you will project. So they don't know. They're out there doing going to parties, clubs, or whatever they do. Some people, you know, some lukewarm people are not doing the things that they're not doing worldly fun. They're just miserable, and they cause other people to be miserable. They won't let go of their stripes. They won't forgive others. They think on it all the time, and that's what they project. They don't say, "Well, look, all right, somebody did me wrong." They don't, instead of forgiving them and moving on, they think about it, and they let it corrupt their mind. And I can tell you story after story. I've seen it so many different ways. People will, you know, once somebody hurt them, they expect to be hurt. And they project what they expect. But they don't know that they are wretched. They're not bringing anything to the table. They're not prosperous. Even though they have possessions, they're wretched. They're stingy. They don't give. They don't help. They don't comment. They don't have good comments for others. Everything they say is a blame. 90% of their words, you know, is nothing. No life in it. Everybody's out to get them. They're wretched, miserable. They laugh when they see somebody fall. They feel good about themselves when they have something others don't. You know, it miserable. Now, the fun, let's say that they deal with the fun side of sin. If you compare the fun side of sin to the joy of the Lord, they are miserable. I know, I've understood both. Yeah, I was almost 20 years old before I got saved. And the pleasures of sin, I understand those concepts, but and I remember them. When I compare that jump to what the things of God, I hated that I did the things that I did that was not right. Because as a sinner, you know, those things are important to you. Or, you know, people under, you know, in that age group, adolescent to early young adult, they're trying to figure things out, and they don't know how dangerous sin. I didn't know how dangerous it was. I didn't know what sin would do to me. I didn't want to do that, but I didn't want to be a. I didn't want to live a raggedy life, but you know, I was baited just like other people. I understand what the concepts of sin, and I have a comparison. After I learned about the joy of the Lord, I hated what I had done. So when some people don't know, and I understand that, some people are in sin, and it's hard in their heart. They don't know how good it is. Some Christians don't know how good it is to live in God's presence. I asked the Lord to teach me how to live in His presence. So when I asked Him to teach me how to live in His presence, I didn't know how to live in His presence. You know, I kind of focused on the things that was going on around me. But when I, as I drew near to Him, He drew near to me. I said, "Oh, this